Hi, I'm Drew Mandel. 2020 has been a bad enough year. The only thing that could make it worse is a tragic accident involving a sharp blade and your sensitive area. Precautions are necessary to keep your nether regions safe, and our friends at Manscaped have an entire line of products to keep your sensitive areas tragedy-free. Take it from us at Illegal Curve. One circumcision is enough for a lifetime. Go to manscaped.com and get 20% off and free shipping with promo code ILLCURVE. That's manscaped.com, 20% off, free shipping with promo code ILLCURVE. That's manscaped.com, proud sponsor of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show podcast.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast,
on TSN1290.ca.
I was saying earlier, like, I should almost get a coaching fee for the drills I've been running Sandberg and Pionk through here in Duluth. So, no, yeah, there's a lot of Minnesota guys, which is it's kind of funny. And, you know, I remember watching Blake Wheeler play when he was with the Gophers and just playing against him. Like, he seems like an awesome captain and excited to play with him.
That's new Winnipeg Jets defenseman Derek Forbort speaking to the media earlier this week, talking another member of the Minnesota Mafia to join this Winnipeg Jets franchise. It's a one-year deal for the veteran physical defenseman to join the Jets back end, or we'll see how it all plays out, but possibly be one of the extra defensemen up in the press box. Time will tell whenever the next season gets underway. Welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuk. Let's check out the Odds Shark inbox presented by Odds Shark, your source for the latest odds from leading authorities. Find your edge at oddshark.net. We ask for your comments via Twitter at Illegal Curve. We ask for your comments via text message. Send your text to 129090. We've got so many, you can't even get to read anywhere near all of them. We appreciate all the response, though, so keep it coming. We are reading them, maybe just not reading them on air. T.S. Gange on Twitter says, who is to blame? Line A to an extent. Mostly, though, I would say it's the coach. Have you heard Maurice praise Line A since he would gush about him in year one? I can't think of a time. There's a distrust there and probably ruffled feathers, going back to that old line that Paul Maurice used about ruffled feathers a number of years ago. Lots of comments coming in via Twitter. Colt 496 says Line A had chemistry with Stasny and Ehlers, so when Little went down and if chemistry was an issue, shouldn't he be happy about Stasny here rather than wanting to be traded? A valid point. Does Paul Stasny end up being the balm to all the burnt feelings right now? Time will tell on that part. You put the balm on?
Who told you to put the balm on?
Exactly. Who told you to put the balm on? Lots of comments coming in. Maurice should definitely shoulder a lot of the blame for people wanting out due to the usage. True, but Line A Roslovic, development of Line A and Roslovic, hindered in large part by Maurice's penchant for showing young kids that they can't play up at the lineup until they can prove they can play in the lineup. Lots of comments coming in. We want to hear from you, so keep them coming. Facebook and Instagram posts, your texts, your tweets, we find them in the Odd Shark inbox. And remember, oddshark.net is your source for the latest odds from leading authorities, expert editorial content, and detailed matchup picks. Find your edge at oddshark.net.
You know, Drew, I realize everyone's entitled to their opinion, and I just think we always have to, it always has to be who's to blame. Like, I think it's probably a little bit of everyone we've discussed. Right? Like, I just don't think that it's Paul Maurice's usage of Line A, or it's, you know, when we had Jeff O'Neill on, you know, he was talking about how Patrick Line A is a different type of personality. Mm-hmm. And he approaches the game differently. He absolutely does. And to be honest with you, I love it. I mean, I think Line A's the perfect example of a new age player, a young star player in the NHL. Like, he likes to play video games. He likes, you know, nice clothes. He likes cars. Like, he's got a different type of, I just assume, because he makes a lot more money than I do, that he drives a nice car. I have no idea what he does, Drew, but he's just not he's not wired the same way as a Mark Scheifele, or, you know, maybe a guy like an Andrew Copp.
So isn't that...
And that's fine. You don't... These guys... We always talk about, you know, these guys are robots. They're robots. Their answers are robotic. And, you know, all these guys do is train. And it's hockey, 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 hockey. Well, you know, there is a lot more to life than just hockey. So just because you're one of the best goal scorers in the league doesn't mean that you can't chill in your own free time.
Isn't it incumbent then on the leadership on this Jets team, the leadership being the on-ice leadership, the players, and then the off-ice leadership, the coach and the general manager, isn't it incumbent upon them that they foster an environment of a big tent
yes.
where everyone is welcome?
Absolutely.
Where it is not how you prepare, it is what you do on the ice. So, you know, Mario Lemieux was never a gym rat.
No.
Guess who was one of the best players of all time in the NHL?
Well, you know he's my favorite player of all time.
Exactly. And so, I mean, not everybody goes by it like Rod Brindamore.
Yes, exactly.
But, you know, you can be as successful with a different approach. And it's incumbent on the organization and on the Scheiflies and on the Wheelers to acknowledge that and accept that and close one eye to certain behavior that you may not like as long as that player is still performing on the ice when it matters most.
I think you make a lot of good points. I really do. And you look at a team like the Tampa Bay Lightning. Pat Maroon is not exactly, you know, in the same mold of as a guy like maybe a Nikita Kucherov or, you know, an Anthony. Like, what I'm saying is, like, the guy's got a big personality. Mm-hmm. And this is a guy that approaches the game a lot different. He keeps it light. And that's what I thought the Jets were lacking, to be honest with you, with Dustin Byfuglien's departure. I mean, Buff is the perfect example of the antithesis of a guy like Blake Wheeler,
mm-hmm.
right? Like, you take these two guys.
Polar opposites.
Yeah, and just because, you know, Dustin Byfuglien, you know, isn't necessarily the guy that, you know, thinks and breathes hockey 24 hours a day, he's still a guy that you would want. You do a poll of players, 99% of the players will tell you they would love to play on a team with Dustin Byfuglien. Why? Because he's a great hockey player and he's a winner.
I guarantee you there were 30 GMs calling his agent saying, any chance we can get him out of retirement.
Never mind that. They probably did that the day the contract was terminated.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
That's my whole point.
Back in February or whenever that was.
So I agree. I think the idea, especially in 2010-20, when we're talking about being inclusive and being accepting of people's different
quirks,
personalities. That's right.
Approaches to business.
I just think, like, I think the overarching theme that we're talking about, whether it's with our guests or whether it's with each other or whether it's with the fans right now through our interaction on Twitter or through text, mm-hmm. is your team, the Winnipeg Jets, is better off with Patrick Laine on it. So you need to figure out a way to get everybody on the same page. Because how do you want to win a Stanley Cup? Do you want to win a Stanley Cup without a guy like that who can put the puck in the net?
Well, it's the hardest thing to do in hockey. And it's the least replaceable thing to do in hockey. And they have one of the best at doing so. So I think you want that guy on your team. But you're absolutely right that this is a second year in a row. Remember last year with the ruffled feathers and Paul Maurice flying to Finland mm-hmm. to try and smooth the waters with with Patrick Laine and with trying to, you know, make sure everybody's on the same page. And again, another offseason, another year where it does not appear as though the key members of this franchise on the ice and off the ice are all on the same page. And ultimately, something needs to change. Because if you keep doing the same thing over and over again and expecting different results, well, that's the definition of insanity. So you have to find out what is the problem. What is causing all of the consternation within the organization, and you might have to hold your nose and do something you don't really want to do. But guess what? You can't keep banging your head against the wall off season after off season, hoping that things are going to change until you actually make a change. And I'm not saying that change should be trading Patrick Laine. When we come back, we'll look at some of the free agent signings from around the NHL. More of your comments via text, via Twitter. It's been a hectic hour and 50 minutes, and there's much more to come. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the Curve on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Buffalo, Taylor Hall here. It's been a crazy past couple days for me, but I can't tell you how excited I am to be a Buffalo Sabre, and hopefully I get the chance to play in front of you great fans sometime soon. I was going to smash into a fold-up table for my intro, but it's probably safest if I don't. Hopefully we get back playing hockey again sometime soon, but until then, go Bills.
Certainly didn't take long for Taylor Hall to endear himself to the fans in Buffalo with a reference to the Bills Mafia and their... Is that on the state flag? You know, just a guy being slammed through a table? I'm not sure if it is or it isn't, but it should be at this point in time. That's the big signing, the big fish when it came to forwards. Taylor Hall deciding to go, shockingly, on a one-year deal, and shockingly, to the Buffalo Sabres for $8 million per season.
Yeah, I think, you know, Buffalo was probably, you know, fifth, sixth, seventh on everybody's list, right? I mean, Colorado was one of those teams that I think everybody was kind of thinking was maybe the front runner, if you want to call it that, right? And, you know, I like this move for Buffalo. I still think Buffalo is a very flawed team. Like, if you look at the Sabres, you've got some really talented players like Jack Eichel and Rasmus Dahlin. The goaltending's okay. It's not great. Mm-hmm. It's definitely not top 10 in the NHL. Nobody's going to say that. But I like it from the perspective of Kevin Adams. You know, he only signs Hall to a one-year deal. I actually like that move from both sides, right? Because, I mean, there's always the chance, guys, Taylor Hall could be traded prior to the trade deadline.
Well, of course. It looks like it's just, you know, and then if you're Buffalo, you've just acquired some...
Right. Well, and you know, we talk a lot about, you know, Patrick Laine over the last few weeks, you know, especially on today's show. But, you know, by acquiring Taylor Hall, you're telling Jack Eichel, like, here's a talented player to play with. Mm-hmm. Like, most likely those guys are going to be playing together. And even if they're not, you're saying we're going out and we're getting, and I don't care what anybody says, Taylor Hall is still a top 20 left wing in the NHL. Maybe even top 10. I realize that, you know, on Arizona, maybe it didn't work out like, you know, everybody thought it would. But this is a guy that won the Hart Trophy 3 years ago. Look, this is a very good player. So whether or not the Sabres get into the playoffs, and let's be honest, the division they're in is arguably the best division in the NHL. So,
well, they have Ottawa and Detroit in that division too.
Yeah, but I mean, Montreal's gotten better. Yeah, I mean, Tampa Bay obviously just won the Stanley Cup. You know, Montreal, Toronto, to me, are probably going to battle it out with Boston for second in that division. Well,
Boston's got all those injuries now, right. But absolutely.
But who knows? Maybe Buffalo squeaks in. But the point is, Drew, Kevin Adams is went out and he got a bona fide first line player, and he's telling the rest of his team that we want to be better this year. And again, like I said, I still think there's holes in that lineup, you know, both at forward and on defense. I just like the move. And for Taylor Hall, you know, he gets the big $8 million. And, you know, he's obviously going to sign another big contract after this, but there's nothing not to like about this move from either perspective.
You get the, it's amazing how much, what stood out to me the most is amazing how much the relationship between Ralph Kruger and Taylor Hall factored into this decision making.
Yep.
And Ralph Kruger's a guy who, you know, his career in Edmonton certainly didn't end well, and the Oilers were a tire fire of an organization back then. And then he goes and he does reinvents himself, goes in, and is the president of a soccer franchise overseas in Europe. What, talk about a renaissance man. Then comes back to Buffalo, and you can see that, you know, how well respected he must be in that dressing room and how well respected he is by Taylor Hall for Hall to basically, you know, go to a, you know, a bit of a floundering franchise and saying, you know, one of the key reasons for me being here is the relationship and the trust that I have with the head coach.
What a sign of faith though in the coach. I mean, that's,
of course,
you know, you can't get asked for a bigger sort of feather in your cap or vote of confidence to have, you know, arguably one of the biggest UFAs say, I want to play for this guy.
And sure, you know, having Jack Eichel there goes a long way in making that even more of a palatable decision. But boy, it speaks, you know, we've heard so much, you know, about how well respected Ralph Kruger is and how well regarded he is throughout the NHL. But for a player to almost make the determination where he's going to go in free agency because of the head coach speaks volumes about the impact that Kruger has.
Yeah, and we're obviously, you know, a big fan of Ralph Kruger's with the if I can say his name properly, Ralph Kruger, his Manitoba connections, right? And, you know, he's a very smart hockey guy. And you know, when he was hired by Jason Botterill, you know, the discussion almost was immediately like, this is a guy that, you know, might be someone who has another role with the Sabres in, you know, whether it's management or, you know, something else, right? Because of his pedigree you mentioned, like, he's not what you would just say a prototypical hockey coach, right? Like, just a guy that kind of rose up through the AHL and he's a hockey coach. That's what he does, right? There's a lot more to him than that. Mm-hmm. But absolutely, that had an impact. And, you know, Hall's an interesting guy because, you know, we talked about if you're going to give him a 6-year deal or a 7-year deal, you know, maybe you're going to regret that contract in the fourth, fifth, sixth year deal because of his age, right? 29 years old.
Sure.
And we've seen, you know, the guys that get the 6 or 7 year deals at 29 years old, it's really hard to live up to that contract for the whole duration of it. Some players do, but most players don't, right? And, you know, I just like it. I've always been a big Taylor Hall fan, and, you know, there were even rumors that he might go back to Edmonton.
Yeah.
Columbus was another team.
Colorado.
Yeah, I mentioned Colorado
Nashville,
earlier.
A lot of people thought Nashville.
So, I mean, it's going to be very interesting to watch the Sabres, I think, because it's a very young team. Like I said, this is just me speaking. I don't think they're going to be a playoff team next year. Maybe they squeak in, but
it's all about the goaltending.
They can't be worse. By acquiring Taylor Hall, you immediately, I think that gives you, you know, 5 to 7 wins right there.
I want to highlight one other signing that a lot of Jets fans probably didn't pay attention to, and it happened in San Jose. They re-signed Kevin LeBanc to a 4-year, $18.9 million deal. Average annual value of $4.725 million. So in a depressed market, that's a lot of money to hand out. Kevin LeBanc is coming off a year where he had 33 points in 70 games.
Well, I mean, as you remember, as we discussed many, many moons ago when we were actually in the studio, he took one for the team.
So this is where I'm going. Back to July of 2019, Kevin LeBanc signed a one-year, $1 million deal with the San Jose Sharks, coming off a year where he had 56 points.
Yeah.
17 goals, 39 assists, and he signed for 1 year and $1 million.
He's essentially getting paid for 2 years ago.
All of a sudden, and if you don't tell me that this is salary cap manipulation,
100%.
And this is 100% something the NHL should be investigating, that they're closing their eyes about and saying, blah, 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 nothing to see here, then you are a damn fool. This is 100% salary cap manipulation by the San Jose Sharks. They had a deal in the drawer with Kevin LeBanc. You cannot convince me otherwise that had this contract on it, because there's no way, coming off of a year where you get 33 points, with the salary cap basically being flat and there being no revenue being generated by a lot of these teams, is Kevin LeBanc all of a sudden worth just under $5 million per year?
I'm not going to argue with that. I just don't know if the NHL or the NHLPA does anything about
it. The NHLPA won't do anything about it, but the NHL, if you want to legitimately have a salary cap that means something, should be investigating this contract. They won't be, because that would require them to admit that there's some collusion and there might be some nefarious things that go on with the NHL, but this contract stinks, and every other team should be screaming from the rooftops that this contract stinks and the Sharks need to be investigated. When we come back, we talk about some of the moves, and there's been a ton of them, the Montreal Canadiens have made this offseason. Marc Dumont, Montreal Canadiens special contributor, joins us next. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We are live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Hour number three of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show starts now on TSN Radio 1290. I'm your host, Drew Mandel, joined by Ezra Ginsberg and Dave Minuke. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text message like a lot of you have done today. Send your text to 1290.90. Standard messaging rates will apply. And our website, which is chock full of the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio, is available at illegalcurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show hotline.
We are pleased to welcome to the program Montreal Canadiens special contributor Marc Dumont. Marc, good morning. Thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Good morning, guys. I'm doing great. Just living it up in Montreal's red zone and not enjoying the weather, I guess.
but I hope that the walls aren't quite closing in just yet. I hope you're still able to get some fresh air, or at least the windows can open so you can enjoy a little bit of the non-red zone air, I suppose.
Right now I have my heat on, but my window's open. So it's the classic Canadian... You know, I want a little bit of cold, but I want to be comfortable. But hey, guys, you know, things could be a lot worse, because for once, things are getting exciting on the hockey side of things in Montreal. And it's funny, because right now everyone's kind of sitting here waiting for stuff to happen. But for once, the Canadians are the ones bringing all the good news to Montreal, or at least we hope it's good news, right?
And they certainly have been one of, if not the most active team this offseason. I want to start with the acquisition of Josh Anderson. They bring him in from the Columbus Blue Jackets in exchange for Max Domi. They then sign Anderson to that big 7-year, $38.5 million contract. You know, why has Josh Anderson been the apple of Marc Bergevin's eye for so many years?
Well, first, let me just say this. Marc Bergevin made 27 NHL moves in 6 weeks. Unheard of. Now, obviously, 13 of those were contract extensions. And then you can actually add 10 more AHL contracts there. So about 30, almost 40 decisions in a little under 45 days, which is pretty exciting. But Josh Anderson brings an element that not just Marc Bergevin has been longing for, but Canadian fans and the players have been longing for. So, you know, guys, when it comes to size, very important, but if you can't combine it with other skills such as goal scoring, to me, it's fairly useless, right? So Josh Anderson brings that unique combination. And the key for me is the speed. You know, he's not just a big guy that will David Clarkson his way into a few goals. He's got the speed. He's got the shot. And obviously last year was a bit of a concern. The doctors have given him a green light, so it seems like the shoulder's okay. As a former a wrestler that had several shoulder injuries, that worries me a little bit, but I'm no doctor, so really, it's just that combination, guys. It's the size, it's the skill, and also what it does, just as the Tyler Toffoli signing does, it shifts everyone down a spot. It gives the Canadians many more options in the top six. So instead of having to slot a guy like Paul Byron, with all due respect, fellow Ottawa native, you could throw a guy like Tyler Toffoli in the top six or a guy like Josh Anderson. And I think that really changed the dynamic of the Montreal Canadiens.
I agree with you, Mark. And I wanted to ask you about Tyler Toffoli because I thought that was such a great signing. And you know, we hear, through various media outlets that Toffoli might have got more money from another team, because it certainly seems like that's a good value for the Montreal Canadiens. And, you know, when you talk about that right side and you've got Josh Anderson there, you've got Brendan Gallagher there, and now you've got Tyler Toffoli there, maybe they have the best right wing depth in the entire league. But does this ultimately just come down to, I mean, Toffoli is just, you know, a great fit for the Habs?
I think so. More in terms of the Canadiens are chock full of playmakers, guys. Like, it's, you know, it's funny because I look at just statistics. And when you look at it, the Canadiens should do better. They take a ton of shots. They spend a ton of time in the offensive zone. They have a lot of high danger shots too. So it's not like they're a perimeter team, but they have no finish. Tyler Toffoli, obviously, he's a volume shooter, so a lot like Brendan Gallagher, but he's shown an ability to score everywhere he goes. So to me, the key for the Canadiens was getting a little more finish among their forwards, and I think Tyler Toffoli does exactly that, and somewhat versatile. Now, I was surprised in terms of the contract. I thought that he'd breach the $6 million range, but I think what we're seeing here, maybe Josh Anderson contract aside, is the reality is these players aren't going to get as much as maybe they would have pre-COVID. So I think that kind of worked out for the Canadians in that sense. And I know that my friends in Vancouver aren't exactly thrilled about how that all went down, but he is exactly what the Canadians need. And you could argue that he's their biggest free agent signing in the last 20 years. Now, there's Radulov was involved there. There's Kovalchuk. There's a few reclamation projects. But the Canadians rarely sign free agents for more than a year or more than, you know, unless they're really undervalued. So this was a nice sign in the sense that he mentioned during the playoffs, he saw a young team that, first of all, beat the Penguins, but were pushed by their rookies, were pushed by guys like Nick Suzuki and Jesperi Kotkaniemi. And then he looked at the core with guys like Weber and Petrie and Price and thought, hey, decent combination. So we've never heard that in Montreal, guys. It's unheard of. It's like someone from Montreal admitting there's good food in another city. It just doesn't happen. So for once, the Canadians, you know, are a destination. I don't know how long it'll last, but it's pretty darn exciting.
You know, Mark, the Brendan Gallagher situation was interesting because at one point it looked like the two sides had, quote, broken off talks. And the next thing you know, it's a 6-year deal. And Marc Bergevin is getting emotional about what he's getting and what he's retaining in the player. So what's it like in Montreal with the signing of Brendan Gallagher? What's he going to mean for this team going forward?
I mean, I get the emotional side, but I mean, I get emotional when I do the data analysis. It's so beautiful. Oh my God, the numbers, they're so beautiful. It goes beyond that, guys. You know, when you think about the Montreal Canadiens, you think about Brendan Gallagher, right? Because yes, Carey Price is there, but when you think about that guy that's willing to go through not just one or two walls, he'll go through three walls like the Kool-Aid man trying to score a goal, you know, and that I think embodies the type of effort that you need from a team that doesn't necessarily have superstars up front. And Brendan Gallagher is exactly that. Now, beyond the numbers, which at 5-on-5, Brendan Gallagher is as dominant as any other player in the NHL. Beyond those numbers, he wanted to stay in Montreal. And that is very big, not just for the GM, it's for the fans as well. As we all know, it hasn't been the number one destination in a long time. So a player saying, hey, I want to stay here, I want to make this my forever home, I think speaks to not just the value of perhaps the potential of the team, but it speaks to someone saying, hey, like, guys, it's not too bad to play hockey here. And if the rest of you guys want to come down and join something fun, I'll be here for a little while. So all in all, I absolutely get why Marc Bergevin got emotional. And also, I love the fact that he kind of let the media run with it for 24 hours. It went from contract talks are absolutely broken down to, hey, you're going to be here for the better part of a decade. And that's just the classic Marc Bergevin style.
Mark Dumont is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Mark covers the Montreal Canadiens as a special correspondent. You know, Mark, you look at this roster up and down, and the backup goaltending position is now solidified with Jake Allen being there. They acquired him from a trade from the Blues. I thought they paid too much for it. Then they signed him to the contract extension. You know, that second year on the contract extension, how much of that was a factor of, that's the bonus that Allen gets for being the goalie that the Habs can leave unprotected in the upcoming expansion draft?
Yeah, there's a part of that. And you know what? I actually raised an eyebrow as well for the price. It was a fourth and a seventh, was that?
Yeah.
Something that sounds familiar. The market is flooded, and goalies have almost no value in the market. Unless there's a Winnipeg Jets goalie that goes on the market, you're not going to see a ton of teams really line up to pay big bucks. So I was surprised as well. But I feel like that was Marc Bergevin getting a little proactive. What my sense is, guys, is that this condensed schedule that we're probably going to have next year might trickle into the following year. So he's kind of guarding himself up against that. He's putting up some walls in the sense that he's going to give Carey Price more than a one-year run at this before Caden Primo comes in. He's going to give him 2 years where he's maybe playing closer to 50. Let's be honest. Carey Price will never play 40 games unless he's injured. But 50 games, and that gives him a little more energy if they make the playoffs. So I think this was more of a gamble in the sense that Marc Bergevin has not an inside track on what's going to happen, but he's kind of projecting into 2 years and thinking, if we have a condensed season next year, why wouldn't we have a condensed the following year? Like, eventually, you know, it's going to stop being bunched up in terms of the schedule. But right now we have a lot of hockey to make up in a very little amount of time. So Jake Allen provides a bit of a safeguard there in terms of Carey Price's overall usage.
Mark, I wanted to ask you about Alex Romanov, because this is a player who was drafted in the second round a couple of years ago in the 2018 draft, and Habs fans are very excited about him. I've heard the comparisons to a young Alexei Emelin, who was a great defenseman for the Habs for all those years. But what are realistic expectations, do you think, for Romanov? You've obviously got, you know, some really good defensemen in front of him. We can go down the line with, you know, Weber and Petrie and you know, all these other defensemen. But is it fair to expect Romanov to play the majority of the season in the NHL?
No. Absolutely not. First of all, if he could be a little more like Emelin in the sense of, if I can see more hip checks while covering the Habs, I will be so happy, because there's nothing in the NHL that makes me happier than a hip check. Maybe like a stacked pad save, you know, 80s styles with the big brown pads. But I think the hype is way overboard for Romanov, and that's not because I don't believe in him. I just, guys, we've been down this road so many times. How long does it take to acclimatize to the North American style of play? How long does it take first round picks that are defensemen that have played in North America their entire life to crack that top four? It's very difficult. So I'm not hyped about him in the sense that I want to keep it realistic. I think he's got top four potential, but he'll need time to get there. And there's no rush, because then you have Ben Chiarot that's there as well, and then you have Joel Edmondson that's there as well, and Brett Kulak, who plays very well. So there's no rush to play in the top four right now, or even the top six, and I get the sense that he might be in the AHL a little more than some expect. Now, that being said, I'm a little more hyped for a guy called Matias Norlander, who's playing in Europe right now, who's, in my opinion, the better prospect. But you're talking about two guys that will most likely make it into the NHL. time frame questionable. We all know how much we hype up players. We do it way too often. But both of them have very good potential, and I wouldn't be surprised in 2 years that we see them both in the top four for the Montreal Canadiens.
You know, Mark, there's a lot of excitement about the 2019 first-round pick from Montreal, Cole Caulfield. He played his first season at the University of Wisconsin last year, 36 games, 19 goals, 17 assists. How much excitement in Montreal is for this prospect? And do you see him being a guy who plays another year or two in college, or do you think he turns pro sooner rather than later?
I spoke to him about a month ago, or actually right before. What year are we? oh God. Anyway, right before the draft, I got a chance to catch up with Cole, and this guy's just what he described as he's a hockey nerd. So all he does, especially during the playoffs, is he was rewatching footage because he told himself, "Listen, I'm scoring at the NCAA level. I need to score at the NHL level. Not all these goals can translate to the NHL." And I thought that took a lot of insight. Especially for a guy that young, often you'll believe in your own hype, but he knows. Even if he was breaking records as a freshman, he needs to get better. So he's been focusing on his defensive game. He's been focusing on changing up his shot, getting various different ways of scoring. And I feel like that's a very, very good thing for a player that's hyped that much. Now, that being said, I'm always in favor of giving them more time. He wants to be back at Wisconsin this year. There was talk of him going to Sweden. But now with the Big Ten, I believe they announced they're playing. So he will be playing in Wisconsin as long as that goes well. And right now, the good news is, because he plays on the right, I believe, if I'm wrong on this, I'll look really silly, but there's no space for a Cole Caulfield right now, and that's fine. So take your time. And the great part about this, the most exciting part about this whole summer for the Canadiens, is they haven't touched guys like Caulfield. They haven't touched guys like Romanov. So there's time for them to come in, and if this group can't get it done, you have some, you know, you have some reinforcements on the way. So I wouldn't rush Cole Caulfield. I think he needs a little more time to perfect his skills, and he'd probably agree with you with me on that.
Mark Dumont is a special contributor to the Montreal Canadiens. He provides great insight and analysis into the team. Mark, appreciate your time. Thanks so much for joining us this morning.
All right. Thanks a lot, guys. Have a great one.
Take care, Mark. Thanks so much. There goes Mark Dumont. He joins us from Montreal.
Mark's
awesome. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the free agent defensemen that were signed, particularly a guy in Vegas named Alex Pietrangelo. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
I mean, I think everybody agrees it's probably the best place to play in the NHL right now. Team-wise, it's a difficult team to play against. You know, I think top to bottom, everyone knows their role, well-coached, good goaltending, good balance. And I think, you know, coming from a team that played a similar style, it's definitely a difficult one to play against. I think that's part of the reason that that brought me here is, you know, fits into my style.
That's new Vegas Golden Knights defenseman Alex Pietrangelo. He signs the big money deal in Vegas. They ship out Paul Stastny and Nate Schmidt to make room for him. We'll talk about that this segment on the show. Welcome back. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Saturday morning. We're live on TSN Radio 1290. This segment brought to you by Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, officially declared the funniest place in Winnipeg by Illegal Curve Hockey for over 30 years. Rumors has been bringing Winnipeg the best in stand-up comedy. To purchase tickets or for a list of performers and showtimes, visit rumorscomedyclub.com. Rumors taking all the appropriate precautions to keep you safe in this uncertain time regarding COVID. Be sure to support local, support Rumors, support local businesses like our friends at Bernstein's Deli. You know, order in the bars and restaurants for
that's
whatever.
Not a problem for me, Drew.
We know that, Ezzy, but try to order something other than McDonald's. That would be helpful.
Mix in a little 7-Eleven in there.
And that's not what I would call supporting local, but it's admirable nonetheless. You know, they're, you know, a big portion of the burden for the next couple weeks is being placed, fairly or unfairly, and I have my opinion, but we'll save that for another time and place, on the restaurant industry, on the bar and restaurant industry. You know, do your part. Help keep these businesses afloat. Support local, buy local. You know, maybe you don't want to go out to a restaurant right now. Buy a gift card, because
yep,
you can then go out to a restaurant at a later date and time, order in, whatever it might be. Support local, buy local. Keep the local small businesses afloat, because they're the ones who are hurting the most right now.
It's the weekend. Who wants to cook on the weekend?
Who wants to cook during the week?
I was going
to
say, what's your excuse Monday through Friday, then?
No, let's be honest. Naomi does 100% of the cooking.
Well, and you do 150% of the eating. Alex Pietrangelo, he goes to Vegas.
Yeah, love it.
It's a huge contract. I mean, the numbers are...
Big boy money.
Big boy money and then some to say, it's 8 years. What is it? It's, $18 million or not $18 million. It's $8 million a season. The numbers are staggering.
It's over $50 million. I don't know exactly what it is, but... I think you guys would agree that it would have been nice. We just rarely see a player stay with one team his entire career, mm-hmm. right? And Pietrangelo is one of those guys, right, that you would put in that category. He wins the Stanley Cup a couple years ago. You'd love to see him finish his career, but I mean, clearly they wouldn't give him those kind of extras that he wanted, right? The no movement clause, maybe a little bit more money in certain years of that contract. Mm-hmm. And then we talked about it last week. As soon as the Blues signed Torrey Krug,
yeah.
I mean, it's pretty impossible to also sign Alex Pietrangelo without moving another contract out. We had Lou Korak on, good friend of the show, and he basically said, like, you have to move out at least $4 or $5 million to fit Pietrangelo in there. So, you know, good on Vegas for signing that contract. Obviously, you know, trading Paul Stastny, trading Nate Schmidt. I mean, Vancouver, I mean, that was robbery.
That was larceny. Right
I mean,
there.
Nate yeah. Schmidt is a great defenseman, a great top pairing defenseman. And, you know, to only have to give up a draft pick to get him. So, I mean, you'd obviously take Pietrangelo over Nate Schmidt. But, you know, you look at who Vegas has brought in over the years, you know, Mark Stone, Max Pacioretty, and now, you know, Alex Pietrangelo. I mean, the Golden Knights are clearly wanting to win a Stanley Cup.
Are they too thin up the middle?
Yeah, maybe. I mean, you know, a guy like Cody Glass is probably going to get a better look next year.
Right.
But you can't necessarily pencil Cody Glass in as your second line center. I mean, I think you'd like to insulate him, right, Dave?
Mm-hmm.
A guy like Nick Waugh is probably going to have an expanded role. I mean, you've got Chandler Stevenson there. Yeah, they probably, I mean, William Karlsson is your number one center. Mm-hmm. But after that, you've kind of got...
You've got Cody Glasson is probably your number two, yeah. And who knows what, you know, is he ready for that role? Yeah. I mean, they seem...
Nick Waugh was your third line center last year. Chandler Stevenson at times was elevated in the lineup. But you don't have the greatest center depth, but on the wings, you're absolutely stacked.
You're loaded on the wings, but the center... I mean, that
Mark Stone kind of plays like a center.
Well, I mean, Mark Stone is so important that he can probably... You're right, he can probably take a lot of that burden. Mm-hmm. If Mark Stone slots next to Cody Glass, he takes a lot of that burden off of Cody Glass.
And Cody Glass had a good year in the A, Dave. So, I mean, I'm not saying that Glass can't be a second-line center, but... You know,
it's just a lot to put on young shoulders
in his first year, right? So, yeah, I mean, most likely you'll have a guy like Glass play with Mark Stone on that second line. Maybe he's on the third line, but yeah, if there's one weakness on the Golden Knights, it's definitely up the middle.
I'll tell you what other move that I loved this week is Devin Taves going from the Islanders to Colorado for 2 second-round picks. Our second round pick in 2021 and a second round pick in 2022.
I think someone put it best on Twitter. They said, if Joe Sakic is calling you, hang up the phone.
Just don't even answer.
And the craziest thing is nobody realizes that Devin Taves is Jonathan Taves' cousin.
Or how good he is, because he played...
That was a joke.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well,
I was like, it's not right, but okay.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm like, Drew, you might want to tell him that it's
not right. No, I was just going to leave it. I was just going to leave it there to die for a little while. But this is a guy who was tremendous for the Islanders. You know, and because of the cap crunch and because of the Islanders having to re-sign a guy like Matt Barzal, they just couldn't afford Devin Taves anymore, given what he was going to probably make it in an arbitration hearing. So Colorado gets him for an absolute steal.
Yep.
You know, that is another case of larceny. You mentioned the grand larceny, Nate Schmidt going to Vancouver for that third round pick. Devin Taves to the Avs is a pretty good case of larceny as well. One forced upon Lou Lamoriello and the Islanders because of the salary cap situation. Just not something obviously he wanted to do, but he had to do.
Yeah. And you know, if you look at the Golden Knights and the Avalanche, they were already the favorites. Like, I still think that the Avalanche and the Golden Knights, you guys might disagree, but these are the two best teams. They were the two best teams, in my opinion, in the West before these trades. And yeah, Devin Taves is a sneaky good move because, you know, you look at a guy like Nikita Zadorov, and that's a trade, too, that flew under the radar.
He goes from, Colorado gets Brandon Saad from the Blackhawks. Right. Zadorov goes, or Zadorov, if you will, goes from the Avalanche to the Blackhawks.
Right, and I'd rather have Taves than Zadorov.
Saad versus Zadorov is not a competition.
Right, and, you know, you've already got Ryan Graves and Sam Girard on that left side. So, you know, whether Taves is your second pairing guy or maybe he's even your top pairing guy and he plays with Cale Makar, we don't quite know. Even though Graves and Makar formed a really good pair there, Graves is kind of that, you know, stay-at-home, you know, bigger physical defenseman. But I just really like what the Avs have there on defense, and I really like what they have overall in their team. Like, I don't care what anybody says. If the Avalanche don't have all of those injuries, yeah. You know, Eric Johnson, Philip Grubauer, Matt Calvert, I'm missing somebody, Jonas Donskoy. I mean, you go up and down the line. Mm-hmm. I think they had 6 or 7 injuries against the Stars. Yeah. I think Colorado probably wins the cup.
And the crazy part is they still have $7 million in cap space. Now, they have to say sign Taves. He's an RFA.
Right.
But the reality is they still have room to make moves.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, Colorado, that's a scary team.
Joe Sakic knows what he's doing.
Yep.
When we come back, Dave Jamieson from our sister station in Edmonton is going to join us, talk about the Oilers' moves, their goaltending tandem, the signing of Tyson Barrie to quarterback their power play. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the Curve on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN1290.ca.
Bottom of hour number 3, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. We're live here on TSN Radio 1290. Drew Mandel, Dave Minuke, Ezra Ginsberg with you. You can follow us on Twitter at Illegal Curve. You can reach us via text message. Send your text to 129090. And, of course, our website with the latest Winnipeg Jets news and audio is IllegalCurve.com.
Now, let's go live on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show Hotline.
We head out to the City of Champions, Edmonton, Alberta, where we're joined by Dave Jamieson, our good friend from TSN 1260 there in Edmonton. Dave, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us. How are you?
Very good, sir. Thanks for having me.
Our pleasure. Dave obviously brought you on to talk about the Oilers and the off-season that they have. You know, and I look at it from an outsider's point of view, and I can't help but think that Ken Holland badly misplayed the goaltending market, that he has to end up with both Mikko Koskinen and Mike Smith back as the Oilers' goaltending tandem for next year. What's the feeling on the ground in Edmonton regarding the goaltending situation?
A lot of the words you just said are how people have responded, did respond to the news that Mike Smith was going to be back here. Because, you know, if you put up on a large whiteboard in your office and you said, you know, Oiler deficiencies, a goaltending, an upgrade on Mike Smith would have been well up on your list. And the fact that they had to double back, and probably for more money than I think a lot of people thought that, you know, that Mike Smith was worthy of. But all of that said, to argue on Ken Holland's side of things, he may have, you know, one year out of the Markstrom sweepstakes, he may have surveyed the landscape and said, you know, there's some guys here who might be better than Mike Smith, but Mike Smith is the devil I know, so we're going to go with that devil.
Yeah, and, you know, I thought, you know, Drew was being a little negative Nelly there because, you know, when I like what the Oilers have done in the offseason. Sure, maybe, mm-hmm. you know, you wanted to upgrade your goaltending, but, you know, signing Kyle Turris to a couple of years at a cap hit that I think you would agree is really low for a player like him.
Yes.
And, you know, Jesse Puljujarvi is signed. We weren't sure, you know, a year ago what his future was with the Oilers. And Tyson Barrie signed to a one-year deal. Dave, and I imagine you would probably love that cap hit as well. And, you know, more importantly, Ken Holland probably loves that cap hit. But I feel like the moves that the Oilers have made, you know, make them a better team.
Yeah, you know, I would concur. You know, and Tyler Ennis is back in the fold. And they've got some, you know, Puljujarvi, for me, is a real, it's almost like a guy coming in, a vet on a PTO. That is, you know, he has to reset the odometer and start at zero again, both with this organization and I think with a decent amount of the fan base. I mean, he's a likable guy, popular as much for, you know, what he did on Instagram and the fact that, you know, he was downtown, had to get someone to pick him up, like just a fan, because he didn't know how to get a cab or whatever. So there's a nice narrative around him, the person. Puljujarvi, you know, if they get a decent return on their investment in him, he'll help in some ways. But the Tyson Barrie signing would be good in any condition, but set against the fact that Oscar Klefbom likely will not play this year and will undergo surgery on his shoulder, Barrie becomes massively important. That was a very good power play, an excellent power play last year. Are they going to be better? at the very least, I don't think they're going to go backwards in that area with Barry there.
You know, and Dave, I mean, the one thing about Barry, I think that it's kind of a testament to the Oilers, is the fact that he took less money than was, you know, yeah, rumored to be available to him in other markets. And, you know, to your point, I think playing on that power play and playing with guys like McDavid and Dreisaitl, knowing he's going to be getting a ton of points, but still, it's a pretty big statement for the organization, I think, to have a guy who was fairly coveted to be able to come to your market mm-hmm. on less money than what he would have made elsewhere.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, and I think we, you know, your market can relate to us here in mm-hmm. Edmonton. Yeah, we're not always, and often rarely, anybody's first choice in terms of NHL players. You know, do they want to go and actively seek out an opportunity? I mean, McDavid and Dreisaitl make this a more, you know, palatable place, but a lot of people will just take a look at the location and the weather and go, you know, I'm good. Tyson Barry, it is a real feather in the cap of the of Ken Holland. And you know, the organization to put the charm offensive on and get Tyson Barry to come here, as you say, for less money than he could have got elsewhere.
Dave Jamieson is our guest on the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Dave is with TSN 1260 in Edmonton. He's the host of the aptly named Dave Jamieson Show. You know, Dave, obviously Kyle Turris, the Oilers are hoping that he'll get hooked up to the rejuvenation machine and resuscitate his career after the disaster that was Nashville. You know, if that doesn't happen, how much trouble are the Oilers in?
Well, I mean, you know, I like the way you framed it. I mean, the Oilers are hoping they're getting the Ottawa version of Kyle Turris. Turris at his best. And obviously, I mean, I think anybody who makes a trade, you're hoping you're getting the player, you know, about to either return to form or continue to maximize their talents. I mean, I think there's sort of a cross, you know, you're doing the deal with Turris, you believe a lot of things, but you're also crossing your fingers. I mean, I will say, you know, doing my show and knowing what the other guys are doing on their respective shows on our station, is people really like the Turris. And then, you know, Turris arrived before Tyson Barry. You know, a lot of people went, that's a solid upgrade. That's a third line center who you can trust. And I don't, you know, I think a lot of people, and I'm sure Ken Holland's at the front of that line saying, you know, crossing fingers and hoping that, you know, he can, Turris can get back to the kind of player that he's been in the NHL.
Dave, I'm not sure how much you've covered this on your show or how much it's been covered on 1260 in Edmonton, but, you know, when it first came out, the idea of the All-Canadian division, and then obviously William Foley, Vegas Golden Knights owner, his comments to a radio station in Vegas, that kind of, you know, fueled the fire there, but because you're in Edmonton and because the bubble was in Edmonton and it was so successful, you know, as we sit here in mid-March, what do you think the likelihood of an all-Canadian division is? And again, like I said, you know, it's so uncertain right now to look ahead to January or February, but is that something that you think there is some legs to this?
I think there really is. And, you know, for all of the sort of COVID-related realities, you would, you know, they that idea of that all Canadian conference checks a lot of boxes. So in terms of public health and so on. Also, for those of us of a certain age, you're going to get very excited to see iconic franchises, you know, the Habs and the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, lesser degree the other Canadian teams, obviously. But, you know, I'm sure it's similar in your city when the Leafs or the Habs come to Edmonton, it's like a special night, and it doesn't need to be hyped. It doesn't, people, you know, roll out in their Daryl Sittler jerseys and so on, Dave Keon, and sit there when the Leafs are here and when the Habs, I mean, it's as much, you know, fans of the other teams as they are the Oilers on those rare games. It's a very special vibe. My fear might be that you get tired of the Canadian, you know, of the Canadiana thing, if you're seeing, you know, the Canadian teams only and with a, you know, fairly high frequency there. But I think it would be a very cool one-off. Got to remember that the Canadian teams are often very good for box office south of the border. So if the Habs aren't rolling into Florida, that doesn't help the Panthers a great deal, right? Some of those Sun Belt teams and even the California teams really, really feel the benefit when a Canadian team comes down there.
And, you know, Dave, one player I focus on is the 2017 first rounder for the Oilers, Kyler Yamamoto. He's been splitting time between Bakersfield and Edmonton, you know, since he's turned pro. Is this the year he jumps full time to play with the Oilers?
Oh, yeah. Based on his performance, I mean, he's an Oiler now. I can't imagine him going backwards. When you saw the progression in his game, you know, he is obviously an undersized player, but works really well in a crowd, and is, you know, super creative. Yeah, he's an Oiler fully vested. There's no, I mean, barring, you know, an injury rehab, Bakersfield's in his rearview mirror.
Dave, last question for you. Dave Jamieson is our guest. He's joining us from Edmonton. As we sit here today on October 17th, why is this Oilers team, as currently constructed, better than the team that flamed out against the Chicago Blackhawks in the play-in round series?
Well, for some but not all of the aforementioned people we've been talking about, the Kyle Turris, I mean, you've got McDavid and Draisaitl, and so that's a great place to start. I think anyone would agree when looking at an NHL team. Tyson Barrie makes them different. I do worry about the lack of Oscar Klefbom. And, you know, their Oilers are obviously counting on the continued maturation of a Darnell Nurse. We'll see where Evan Bouchard is in terms of his readiness to step in and step in as a, you know, regular defenseman for the Oilers. Philip Broberg's another D-man that they're keeping a close eye on. He appears to be close. But my misgiving will, I will say they are slightly better than last year, but my concern going into free agency in the offseason was goaltending. They haven't addressed it, and so for me, that's a real asterisk in terms of, you know, the answer to this question. Slightly better, but
Dave,
yeah.
And I'm sure you're hearing a lot about it on your own program there in Edmonton. Mm-hmm. Dave Jamieson is the host of the Dave Jamieson Show on TSN 1260 in the City of Champions. Dave, appreciate your time. Appreciate your insight. We'll let you get back
always
to your weekend. Thanks for joining us.
Always good to chat. Thanks, guys.
Likewise, Dave. Take care. All the best. When we come back, one final segment, we look at some more about the Jets and the very curious offseason so far for the Chicago Blackhawks. You're listening to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. Saturdays are for the Curve on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
The podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.
We've got a couple young goalies here in Lankinen and Delia who we haven't given a real big opportunity to, but you know, with where we're headed and, you know, the NHL is relying more and more on young players and, you know, we're going to embrace that moving forward.
That is Chicago Blackhawks general manager Stan Bowman trying to justify his decision to not re-sign Corey Crawford and instead go with the epic goaltending tandem of Malcolm Subban and Colin Delia. Will that work out for the Blackhawks? Well, time will tell, but I think there's a lot of skepticism about the moves made by Stan Bowman so far this offseason.
I still don't get it.
Hold on. Hang on. Hold on to it. I just got to do my read here. Can I do the read? Okay, thank you, Ezzy. You're letting me do the read. Anyways, welcome back to the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. This is our final segment on this Saturday morning. It's going to open with a look at the Bodog.net scoreboard. And because there's not a lot of sports action happening as of yet, certainly none in the NHL, that will allow me to mention that in one of the few college football games that are currently going on, available on TSN1 for your viewing pleasure, my University of Kentucky Wildcats, on the strength of two pick sixes, lead the Tennessee Volunteers 14-0 early in the second quarter. That was the Bodog.net scoreboard brought to you by, can you guess, Bodog.net. Head to Bodog for sports odds, poker strategy, and free-to-play casino games. Bodog.net, make a play. Go ahead, Mr. Ginsburg.
Go Big Blue.
Thank you. I appreciate that. It doesn't make sense to you.
Well, I don't know why. I mean, a lot of moves are just moves to me, but for some reason, when you're Chicago, and we were praising them for the Robin Leonard move, for acquiring Robin Leonard.
Last year.
Yeah.
In free agency.
And then you have the opportunity to sign him, and then again, you have an opportunity to bring back Corey Crawford on a 1 or 2 year deal. Like, we all watch the playoffs. And that's, to me, you know, off air, I just mentioned to you guys, like, Corey Crawford, I'm a Devils fan. I love that signing for the Devils. But Corey Crawford made so much sense for the Oilers because Mikko Koskinen, we know, is not what you would say is a quintessential number one goalie.
No, like, he's not a number one goaltender.
He needs somebody else there. And that's why they re-signed Mike Smith. Like, they don't have a young goaltender waiting in the wings right now. To the best of my knowledge, there's nobody in the Oilers system that's ready to step up, you know, and assume a number one or number two role. So that's why I just still, I think it's always going to confuse me what the Hawks are doing there, especially with their goaltending. The Brandon Saad trade to me was larceny for the Avalanche.
Brandon Saad was traded from Chicago earlier this week to Colorado for Nikita Zadorov.
Right, and that's why, I mean, we haven't even got into this. Yeah. You know, maybe we don't have time, but Mark Lazarus's conversation with Jonathan Toews. I mean, Toews is, we all know Toews here in Winnipeg. He's a pretty, you know, quiet, reserved guy. Mm-hmm. But those comments about, you know, where this organization is going, if you're Toews, if you're Kane, Duncan Keith, you know, these guys, I mean,
the Stanley Cup winning core.
Right, and Brandon Saad was obviously part of those Stanley Cups.
Yeah.
I mean, you're wondering, like, what you're not getting better by trading Saad for Zadorov. Zadorov is fine, I mean, but this isn't exactly what you would call, like, a top defenseman in the league. You know, this is a second-pairing guy at best. So you're kind of wondering, you know, if you're Toews and Kane, like, what are we doing here?
It's a great question because I don't know the answer to that. And that's why Jonathan Toews, in speaking with Mark Lazarus, is basically saying that. He's saying to Stan Bowman, we won the play-in round.
Yep.
Now, they should never have been in it to begin with, but whatever. They won the play-in round. They choose not to qualify Drake Caggiula.
Right.
They choose.
Who's a great player.
Former
UND standout. Like, Caggiula's a guy that can put the puck in the net.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Good speedy guy on your second or third line. I didn't get that either.
You trade away Olli Maatta, who's flawed, but you know, an NHL defenseman.
Yeah.
What are you doing? What's your game plan? What is your future? What is, you know, if you're Jonathan Toews, I mean, you get this taste of the postseason again, and you know that he loves it, because that's where Jonathan Toews shines the most. How can he have any faith in what Stan Bowman is trying to do? Because what is the vision? Articulate your vision.
Well,
sell your team on your vision, and maybe they can get on board, but right now they just seem to be, you know, just listlessly moving from side to side.
I think the key would have been speaking to your veteran players.
Yeah.
I think, you know, and Stan Bowman in that quote that we played off the top of out of the commercial break, you know, to me, it's like he's talking about this is the path forward. Well, if that's the path forward, you need to express that to your team, because the reality is if he had had that conversation with Jonathan Toews, hey, we're going to need to make a few moves.
Yeah.
It's going to look like this. The reality to me at least is, and again, you know, you're the GM. You run the team. You know, ultimately, you're the one who makes the decision. But you want to keep those guys happy. And, you know, from the way it sounded you know, you don't necessarily, like, Jonathan Toews, it was extraordinary for him to do that interview.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, every quote, if you read, was, I don't remember who said it, said, you know, generally, if I ask him an off-season question, it's not being answered. Because he you know, creates
separates.
A separation between the season and the off-season.
He wants to spend time with his family and friends, and he's not a guy that you know, wants to speculate.
So Jonathan Toews is the last guy you think is going to torch your organization.
Right. And so for him to be, you know, rather aggressively saying, like, those comments, it's I think it's a shot at the GM saying, listen, like, you know, I'm not happy here, and I'm not suggesting it's asking for a trade in any way, shape, or form, but I'm simply suggesting that, you know, in this instance, I think Bowman would have been done well to say, and again, like I said, ultimately, I think the decision rests with him as to what his hockey team is going to look like.
This is the issue, Dave. I mean, if you're the Chicago Blackhawks, you're not rebuilding at this point.
Well, if they were,
you can't rebuild when you're paying the type of money and you have the type. More importantly, forget the money. I mean, when you've got, you know, Patrick Kane, top 10 forward in the league, Jonathan Toews, I don't care what anybody says, he's still a great two-way forward, great center. Right? And you've got Alex DeBrincat. I realize Alex DeBrincat, you know, his goal totals went down a little bit. DeBrincat's a great player.
If you were
Kirby Doc, great player. I mean, like, you have a mixture of great veteran players. The defense is not good. Like we can't forget about that.
Mm-hmm,
I mean, you know, aside from Duncan Keith and Adam Boqvist, I mean, that defense is not great.
That defense hasn't been good since they traded Chalmerson.
Right. And Calvin DeHaan, you know, he gets injured. I still think DeHaan's a good defenseman, you know, and it looks like he's going to fully recover from that injury. But, I mean, Connor Murphy, I mean, you know, is Connor Murphy a second-pairing defenseman?
Right.
Or is he, you know, more of a depth defenseman? I think they expected more out of him. So I just think, you know, that defense isn't very good. But the point is, by trading Brandon Saad, by not bringing back Corey Crawford, by not bringing back Drake Caggiula, I mean, you haven't made your team any better. Like, if anything, the moves that you've made have made your team worse.
That's what the part... If you were going to set out on a rebuild, the time to do that was 3 years ago. And I agree with you that a rebuild shouldn't be your course of action when you have Patrick Kane and Jonathan Toews.
Well, you could do a New York Rangers-style rebuild, like a soft rebuild.
For a year, where it was a year. Instead, they've been in this mushy middle of nothingness for multiple years, and now they seem to be even worse than they were off the
rails. Matthias Janmark, I forgot about him. I'm just looking up the moves that they've made. Matthias Janmark is a guy, you know, a good kind of, you know, let's call him a bottom six or middle six forward, like a guy that can kill penalties, a guy who can contribute. I'll say this much: Janmark is a good player, but it's the defense that you needed to address.
Zadorov
doesn't move the needle.
Well, I'll tell you this though: the Hawks, while we're lamenting what they've done, still have three Stanley Cup,
which is a good place to be.
And remember, that's what we always talk about.
Yeah, but they want 4 and 5.
That's it for the Saturday morning in the Illegal Curve Hockey Show here on TSN Radio 1290. A big thank you to our guests, Dave Jamieson, Mark Dumont, Murat Atesh, and Jeff O'Neill. In case you missed any of the interviews, in case you missed any of the show, it's available for download on iTunes, it's on Google Play, it's wherever you get your best podcasts. Rate us, review us, subscribe to us, let us know what you think of the program. A big thank you to our sponsors, Rumors Restaurant and Comedy Club, Linden Market Dental Center, Bernstein's Deli, and Zappia Group Realty. Support these fine local businesses. Really get out there and support local businesses because they support Illegal Curve Hockey. Big props to producer Sean Asor back at the studio doing a great job on the board. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Manuk, I'm your host, Drew Mandel. If it's Saturday, it's the Illegal Curve Hockey Show on TSN Radio 1290.
This is the Illegal Curve Hockey Show,
the podcast
on TSN 1290.ca.